Validas Tour and Library Qualification Podcast with your host, Oskar Slotosz.
Hello, my name is Oskar Slotosz and I'm your expert in tool qualification and avoidance of tool qualification.
And I'm Ivana Kuracic, your friendly representative of the audience. In this podcast, we support you in building a safe and compliant infrastructure for your software development. It's about the safety of tools and libraries that can be achieved by qualification.
And today's episode 36 is about safety element out of context.
Can we start by explaining what is a safety element out of context and where does it come from? Why is it important for us?
Well, a safety element out of context is literally what it says. So it's abbreviated SEOOC, and it's a safety element out of context. And that's something very unusual, because usually you consider the safety of a system, of an element, of whatever, in a context. And that helps you a lot in answering some safety questions. So you can argue a lot with the context. And there are two forms of context. So one is the environment in which the system will be. So it makes a big difference if you have, let's say, like a heartbeat maker that is operating within a human. So you know the temperature will always be between 35 and 40 degrees. So, or if you make a Mars lander, which will have very extreme temperatures. So this is a big difference of the system context and where the system is operating. So, and if you make a heartbeat thing, then you know you don't need to consider negative temperatures, for example. So that's some typical thing. You know the context and you can argue about the context. And this goes, of course, not only the context of the system, but also the context of the software. So, for example, if you program some temperature measurement, and if you write a routine there, you can use integers and scale them to a given range. That's something which you can really argue a lot when, for example, you can argue that the code is dead because you know something about the system context. And that's a very frequent thing that safety experts tend to do. They tend to argue about the context. And therefore, it's so interesting to have a safety element out of context. Without the context, and it's, of course, harder to build.
And you feel that experts in tool and library qualification should also be well aware of the safety element out of context. How so?
Well, there are two reasons why we treat safety element out of context in this podcast about tool and library qualification. The first is, of course, for safety element out of context, we also need to consider the tools, because this can't be done from the integrator.
Is there something that you feel like people should know when dealing with the safety element out of context concept?
Yes, I think it's a very helpful concept, and I see a lot of misunderstandings and people asking what is this and how shall we do it. And there's also something, for example, misunderstanding if you provide a software, and many of our customers and partners are providing software. And then, of course, you have not the system, you have to make a safety element out of context. So that's quite a standard. And there is another thing that is frequently it is confused with it and say, okay, ISO 26262 has a chapter software component qualification. And then they say, okay, then they read the chapter and say, well, that's far easier than being compliant with all of part 6. So let's do a software component qualification. But this is not a valid thing, because part 8, 12, qualification of software components, is what we call library qualification. This may only be applied to unchanged and reused software components. So if you download some open source software and it comes with, it is widely used in many different applications, then you can qualify it according to 8.12 qualification of software components. So this is something where people should do a safety element out of context. if they develop software and only apply qualification of software components for unchanged and reused software components. That's a bit misleading term, and therefore I wanted to just explain also what is a safety element out of context, because when you read the ISO 26262, it's always talking about items. So the most thing, you always develop an item. That's a top level element. It's an item, and then you maybe an automated brake or a car or whatever is an item. When most people developing operating systems, software providers, and if they build products, they have safety element out of context. And it's also an interesting term because it's not in other standards. So it's not in the IEC 61548. I haven't found such a concept. So of course they can do reuse arguments and they have pre-existing software and other things, concepts, but it's not so explicitly formulated. And I like the idea of ISO 26262 here to say something, to define a way how corporations can be done and to support reusability. And therefore, it's very important to have this episode about this topic. Meanwhile, the episode about ISO 26262 is our most listened episode. So there is a big interest in all those ISO 26262 topics. And therefore, I think, okay, if we can cover them and if people are interested in it, then we can do it.
Your expertise definitely helps to get the word around and explain some of the misunderstandings. And all of the episodes that are relevant to this one, you can find linked in the description of the current episode you're listening to. And we have in our previous episodes talked a lot about the environment and the context within which we operate a certain piece of software or tool. So in which cases would we even encounter a safety element out of context?
Well, that's the main motivation for safety element out of context is reuse. So you want to reuse the safe element and you want not to spend a lot of effort to make it safe, but then you want to be able to reuse it in different systems, in different contexts. And that's, of course, a challenge. But if you have, let's say, a good system that can be reused in many different contexts, then why make it safe again and again and again? So you also want to reuse the safety argumentations you made.
Is it more difficult to deal with the safety element out of context than something very specific and within a particular context? Does it take more effort to manage?
No, it takes less effort to manage because you already know some properties. Let me say something about the different rigors we have defined. So safety element out of context is defined in ISO 26262, part 10, clause 9. So it is defined. So it is part of a safety standard. And you know from previous episodes that there are three different classes of rigor. So you can build the system. You have to fulfill all requirements from the ISO 26262 to build a safe system. Otherwise, you're not compliant. And of course, you may tailor or do other things, but in principle, you have to satisfy all the requirements. The next level are the libraries. So that's a reused software where most safety standard and also ISO 26262 allow you to spend less rigor. So they have a subset of requirements that you need to satisfy. So this is less rigorous. So for the whole system, all requirements, for the library, only a subset of requirements. And for the tools, well, the tools are the least critical thing because they are not part of the product, they're just used to build it. Then there's even less requirements or less rigorous requirements there. And the safety element out of context is something in between. So you don't need to satisfy all requirements of the ISO 26262 because some of them depend on the context. So for example, if I run a software, a library or an operating system, I cannot run it on all hardware platforms and all environments that are possible. So there needs to be something done on the system level when you integrate it, but not everything. And therefore, you don't need to satisfy those requirements. Like the hardware integration test, you cannot satisfy, or it doesn't make sense to satisfy when you deliver a safety element out of context. You can select an appropriate set of requirements. You do not need to satisfy them all, but you can select an appropriate one. And of course, if you select a subset, somebody has to care about the other elements that you didn't select. And that's always the working split. Someone provides a safety element out of context with a subset of requirements, and other person integrates it and has to ensure all other requirements. Therefore, it is a middle thing. So you don't need to satisfy everything, but in total, it's as safe as if you would satisfy everything, because the other part, the remaining things, are satisfied from the integrator. So it's a kind of work split. You do something and make it safe, and or partially safe, and the integrator integrates it and makes it completely safe.
Do you maybe have a specific example to share with us of how this works in practice?
Yeah, so an example is an operating system or just a small library that is reused frequently. And when you are developing software, then you have to satisfy part 6, all the software requirements, and you have to have coding guidelines, and you have to have code coverage and test cases and an architecture and everything. And let's, for example, look to the coding guidelines. So I can define a library or develop a library and then make it safe. But then I say, well, it's a safety element out of context, and I deliver only the source code to the customer, and therefore he can integrate it and he has to check the programming guidelines. So he might select the MISRA guidelines or other guidelines. And then he has to check the compliance of my software with his guidelines. This is a possible safety element out of context, but it's a bad example, or it's an example for a bad choice, because nobody will be happy to receive a software and then having the duty to check the safety guidelines, or the programming guidelines, because they were not checked. It's a valid safety element out of context. I can go to my integrator and say, well, here's our software, here are the test cases, we didn't check the guidelines. So he might not be happy, but it's a valid work split. If he says, well, we check the guidelines anyhow for all the software we integrate, we don't trust nobody, then you don't need to check the guidelines, and we might be happy and say, okay, then we save this step and you will do this anyhow. So it's the way how you split the work and define the safety element out of context. Of course, if I had really such a library without programming guidelines, and because one of my first customer says, don't bother, we will do it, then I want to reuse it with another customer, say, hey, I have a cool library. If I say I have a cool library, but I didn't check the programming guidelines, he might look a bit strange to me and say, what that? Please do it. So therefore, for reusability, it's better if you make some reasonable safety element out of context with as much as things as you can satisfy.
And this is standard then? And this is something that is actually done by most providers?
Yes, that depends, of course, of what you provide. And what you have to do, of course, is to, when you work together with an integrator, you may have to make a development interface agreement, DIA. That's also specified in the ISO 26262. And it says, okay, we will deliver you that, and we will guarantee that the following requirements are satisfied, or the following clauses or chapters or parts of ISO 26262 or other safety standards are satisfied. So this is somehow part of the contract that you are building. And the more you can deliver on safety and arguments, the better is it. Another very famous example, an interesting example, is standardizations. So if, for example, or open source software, if a big team is working together, like in the AUTOSAR standard specification, so they provide a big specification, but they don't provide an implementation. So this is something they agree to not do this, because there will different people working together with different implementation. That's okay. But the safety that they provide is only partially provided. So they cannot provide the traceability down to the code, because they don't have the code. But they provide some safety concepts on the higher levels, and that's something where the more they provide, the better is it, because if something comes with a big safety or with many safety arguments, the integrator needs to do less. Another good example, and that's where we also are working quite a lot, is open source software. So open source software provides you a lot of good software that you can just download and integrate if the license models fits to your business. But what they don't provide, because it's less fun for most programmers, is good test cases. Most software comes with test cases, but they are not safety compliant. They are not complete. They have no. You cannot really rely on them being complete. And well, you get the software for free, but you have to ensure the safety on your own. And if it would be come with a safety together, so it would be much better for all people using software if they would have a good safety argumentation. But that's maybe less fun for most people to create, and therefore it's not done. And okay, well, that's just examples of how you can enrich your item with some safety claims and safety arguments, and then you call it a safety element out of context and leave it to the integrator on how to integrate it. There's another thing, maybe less known, and not many of our listeners will have studied computer science and formal logics and so on, but there are a lot of proof technologies that are called assumption and commitment. So that's a bit like a Hoare logic or other logics, and there's a style which is called assumption and commitment. So you can assume that you get the following inputs to your software, and then you can commit and prove that your software has certain properties. And that's a bit also in the sense of safety element out of context. So you have some assumptions you can make and say, okay, let's assume this and this is done from the integrator, and then we can commit to have those and those requirements satisfied. So I think that's a nice analogy. It's not a formal proof, but in principle, it is derived from those formal way of thinking. So that's also why I do like safety element out of context.
Given that libraries are such specific elements in the development process, how would you go about qualifying a library, let's say a new or maybe even a modified pre-existing library, as a safety element out of context? Is that even realistic?
A library can either be qualified according to 8.12 in ISO 26262 or other comparable standards, but also as a safety element out of context, especially if it's new or modified. And we have done this already.
Oh, you have?
Yes, we had a customer saying, here we have a library, can you make it ISO compliant? Well, and this is something ISO 26262 does not like, that we just make something compliant, but we treated it as an incomplete library development, and we had to complete this. So we did a safety plan, we did specify the requirements, we specified the architecture, of course, based on what we found there. We analyzed the architecture, we tested the design, we tested the integration, we run it on the hardware, and then we generated all the required documents. And this was assessed also from TÜV. So this was a qualification of a library as a safety element out of context.
Well, that definitely sounds like a really interesting topic. I hope that we will hear more about it in the following episodes.
Validas. Safety for your tools and libraries. Contact us at www.validas.de and ask for a free strategy talk.
Let me make an example, which I have really heard. It was also somebody wanted to provide a safety element out of context to their integrators. And I was talking about tool qualification with him and say, well, we define the safety element out of context without tool qualification, without tool confidence. This is something we left over to the integrator. If they want it, they should do it. So, of course, from the safety point of view, safety element out of context, this is a valid thing, but this is a huge a very bad thing to sell, because if you go to the OEM and say, yes, here's our system, it's perfectly safe, accept the tools, we didn't do this, you have to do it. And then he might ask, okay, which tools did you use and which environments did you have? And they need to buy maybe some of those tools, and then they need to figure out the environment that the supplier had had. And so this is a no-go, I would say. So that's a valid definition, but a senseless definition. And I was really very, very surprised to hear such a strange definition of safety element out of context. So, and that's also the difficult thing of a safety element out of element out of context, to define something reasonable. And obviously this was not a reasonable definition of safety element out of context. It was maybe a practical one saying, okay, we don't do this, let's do somebody else in a later future or whatever. But I think this, I wouldn't buy a product from the point of view that say, okay, here's a good product, but you have to qualify the tools before you use it. No, I wouldn't buy this. I would say, okay, is there another supplier that can me supply a product where they have done a reasonable safety case?
And made your life much easier? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. And that's, of course, when they... that's also a funny story. We saw from Neuralink, we saw a very interesting presentation. And they said, well, we plug together some parts that are also in smartphones or whatever. So they have their implants working with typical hardware used in smartphones. But if you want to make it safe, you need to have safe hardware, safe software, and safe tools. And if you're going to buy something, then you can buy only the element, what they did, or you can also buy the safety case of the elements, what they should do to make it safe. And that's a completely different market that you might or that you have to look. So you cannot look to every chips you find here. You need to look to the specifications and the safety cases. And chips with safety case, maybe it's just 30% of the market. You shouldn't use chips without safety cases, because then you need to build them on your own. So, and that's something where they are working currently probably on to build the products. That's also what we see in many industries, that people not only selecting the items, but also selecting based on the safety cases. And if you have a good safety case, it's definitely a very good selling argument for those safe systems, which tend to increase more and more and more. That's it for today. Thank you for listening. And we have heard about the safety element out of context having the same amount of rigor that is required in the safety standard, but allowing you to comply with less requirements, and the challenges to find the right requirements. Well, and of course, we help our customers in building the right requirements and selecting them. And don't forget the tools and libraries. Okay, that's it for today. Goodbye, and hope to talk to you soon with our next 37th episode about MCDC code coverage.
Thank you for joining us in our episode 36. We are very happy to hear from our listeners, so if you have any questions on topics in tool and library qualification or beyond, let us know. Our email address is podcast@validus.de.
That's it for today. Thank you for listening, and don't worry about qualification. Be happy with Validus.